How many have heard the word truth tonight several times? It started with Brother Caleb's prayer. We just heard it from Brother John. Guess what I'm preaching on tonight? God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And I count it a privilege to be able to share God's word. I love it. I love God's word. I love sharing God's word. And I want you to pray for our teen class. I had them memorize the first few verses I'm going to be using this evening. And my goal is to try to do my best to have a part in helping your teenagers know Christ, first of all. But secondly, to know their responsibilities as men and women. And we don't treat them as children in the class. How many of you could use better teenagers? You want your teenagers to be the best they can be. Let me put it that way. I want to encourage you to get them into class. I want to encourage you to help them to do their homework. Last Sunday morning, I told the students that they had some homework, and they're like, "Brother Beck, we're out of school. We don't have to do homework anymore." I said, "What do you call this class?" "It's Sunday, what? School." And at first I was joking, telling them they need to write an essay, but I wasn't going to do that to them. But I wanted them to do homework, study the Bible on their own, so that they can be prepared for class, but also so they can know what God would have them to know. And if all they get is Bible on Sunday morning, they're going to be starving the rest of their life. I want to encourage all the teenagers to get into the Word of God. I want to encourage the parents to find out what Brother Beck is teaching your children. Please, ask them what I'm teaching. I want you to be involved. You need to know what I'm teaching. Amen. And it's very, very important because our children are being taught all kinds of things today. They're being taught ungodly things. They're being taught lies that are being considered to be the truth. And the Bible told us that these days would come. We know that our time is short here. I'd ask you to, first of all, turn into the book of Psalms, the 9th Psalm. There will be no passage of Scripture tonight that I'm going to use that I would imagine you're not familiar with. Every one of these verses you should be familiar with. I hope you are anyways. But as we look at what is taking place, you've heard Pastor mention numerous times, our nation is in trouble. Our nation is becoming more and more wicked each and every day. And there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. If you have your place, please say amen. The Bible declares the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you as a vessel that needs your filling. Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight. Father, I thank you that your word has power. Lord, it's your word, it's not mine. Father, you cannot lie, and I thank you for that. Lord, you care enough to warn us. You care enough to help us. Lord, thank you that we have your word that we can run to, that we can confide in. Lord, that it will help us, to strengthen us. It will convict us. It will chastise us. Lord, it will help us to be what we're supposed to be. Father, as we look at our nation tonight, Lord, she's in trouble. Father, our nation as a whole has turned its back on you. Father, we want to see revival. Lord, we have a revival plan, schedule coming up. But Father, it will not happen without you allowing it to. I know it won't happen unless we ask you to bring it. And Father, I'm asking you tonight to bring revival to our church. Father, be your brother Sage as he comes to preach. Go ahead and prepare his heart and our heart, Father, to hear what we need to hear. Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I invite you to have your will and way in the service. I invite you to make your presence known. Lord, I am nothing. I need you, dear Father. Lord, I need you to use me as your vessel tonight. Speak through me. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing. If you will keep this verse in mind as we see this, this is a promise that is proving itself to be true. The Bible always proves itself to be true. You can criticize the Bible. You can be skeptical of the Bible. But I promise you, if you will read it and continue to read it, you will find that everything that has been prophesied either has already come to pass or is coming to pass. And I'm glad that I can put all my faith and confidence in the Word of God. And therefore, I can put all my faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. I'm glad that it is impossible for God to lie. Aren't you? And each and every one of us, we have the ability to lie. But God cannot lie. And I'm thankful for that. Because there are so many liars in the world today. I think of Proverbs, and I believe it's chapter 6, where the Lord mentions that He hates lying twice. He mentioned it twice. And I don't like liars. I don't like people that feel like they have to try to deceive you. God hates it, and that ought to be enough for us to hate it. Hate the sin, love the sinner. But at the same time, the reason America is being turned into hell, and I believe that she is because we have forgotten what God has done in our nation. And Satan has been busy from the very beginning of the creation of this world, twisting God's Scripture, deceiving people and giving them half-truths, and adding things to the Word of God. And we saw where Eve was deceived. She partook of the fruit. She took it to Adam, and he willingly sinned against God. But we see ever since the beginning, the creation, that Satan has been very busy taking the truth of God and twisting it or outright changing it to where people have no idea, or they say they have no idea, what the truth is. And tonight, we as citizens of this great nation, and I love this country. I don't like the leadership, but I love the country. We need to be more boisterous about the truth. We have been quiet for too long. We've had the idea, the mentality, well, we'll just let them fool themselves. Well, look where it has gotten us. They have the ability to seek the truth, but how many of you have realized people don't want the truth? They say they do. They will give lip service and say, well, I would like to know the truth if it's available. Well, it is available. And it's in written form, and you can take it with you, and you can spend as much time in the truth as you want to. When I think of the truth that we need to have today, I want you to understand something. When you change truth, you're inviting the wrath of God upon your own life. God warns us not to add to His Word. And He definitely tells us not to take away from His Word. It is very important to God, and we need to understand that. And Satan, hell was prepared for him and the angels that fell with him. And he is not going to rule and reign in hell. He's going to be tortured for all eternity because of his pride. We have a lot of pride in America, do we not? I think that's one of the reasons our nation's in the danger it's in today, because we put too much pride in our nation instead of putting our eyes and focus on the Lord. I am glad to be an American. I would still die for this country if need be. But the fact of the matter is, this country is not my Savior. In fact, it's really not my home. I have an eternal home. I have a place prepared for me, prepared for those who are saved, that I will go and be with my Savior. And I'm looking forward to those days. If you'll please turn in the New Testament to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. There are those who know the truth, but reject it. And they will make it to be what they want it to be. Have you noticed that truth today is relative, or at least they try to make it relative? Well, if I believe this way strong enough, then it makes it to be true. Well, that is not the truth. That is not the truth at all. And instead of trying to love people enough to tell them the truth, they would rather coddle people and let them to be caught and deceived in their own lies. And how many people have told so many lies that now they have convinced themselves that the very lie they told is now the truth? We're seeing it all over. We're seeing it all around. And it's all because we have not stood up and put down our foot and said, no, that is not the truth. And we need to. Not in a hateful way, not in a mean way, but at the same time, we have got to be steadfast. We have had to have our faces set like flint that we are going to tell people the truth. But people don't want the truth. People want to feel good about themselves.
People want you to tell them how great they are and how they're okay no matter what they do. Well, that's not the truth. And God will judge. He will judge each and every person. And that's one of the things I try to get across to the teenagers. Listen, the reason we're doing these things is not for you to enter into heaven. Yes, I want you to be saved, and salvation is necessary to go to heaven. But the things that we do, you need to be careful, because God is going to call into account everything that we do. Not for salvation, but to reward us or to punish us. I want you to think about that. It's very, very important. But in Romans chapter 1, we'll go ahead and skip to verse 25. But the problem was these people knew who the Creator was. They knew about God, but they chose to forget about God. They chose, honestly, to make themselves God. And I have seen an increasing amount of number of people today who tell me they believe in God, but they really believe that they're their own God. And therefore, the decisions they make, it's okay because their God says it's okay. Well, if you're your own God, I'm sure it is. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one God. In fact, my God said there's none else. He doesn't know of any other God. I'm going to take His word. I'm going to stick with Him. He's never lied. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to stick with that, Lord. I'm going to stick with Him. But in verse 25, if you'll look there with me, please. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, can we make God's word a lie? In actuality, no. But we can lie about God's word. Line upon line, precept upon precept. As Pastor teaches us often, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You have to take the whole counsel of God into consideration when we look at these things that God is teaching us. When we look at the truths that, not what God's Word contains, but the truth that is God's Word. And so many people today are saying, well, the Bible contains the truth. No, it is the truth. And I want you to understand that God, even though there are lies in the Bible, they're recorded lies. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And there's no errors in the Word of God. And I want you to understand that. But Satan has been so busy, he is so good at what he does, that he comes into the life of the rebellious ones, the prideful ones. And he will let them go in their own thinking, into changing whatever they want, because that's what he does. And then he allows them to fall into the condemnation of the Lord. God gave these people who... they changed the truth of God into a lie, but then they went and worshiped and served the creature, themselves, mankind, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. How many times do we see men worshiping men? Politicians. Oh, all of our hopes in this man. No, my hopes in Jesus Christ. Even if the man that most people want to come back, if he does, listen, it's not going to change what is written in the Word of God. And I want you to understand that. And I may get on somebody's bad list for saying these things, but Trump is not my hope. He's not my hope. Sure, things were better, but were they? Were we as dependent upon God in prosperity when everything was going wonderful, we were getting richer? Were we trusting in God more? Or do we trust God more when we're going through tribulation, when we're going through trials, and where we have to call out to Him, God, You know our needs. God, You know exactly what we're facing. We need You, Father. You're the only one that can do this. See, when times are good, oh, I'll just pull out my wallet. When times are good, well, I'll just do this. It'll be all right. But listen, when you think about the first church, they were told by Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But what'd they do? They hung around Jerusalem. So God raised up a man, Saul of Tarsus. And this man wreaked havoc on the believers. And he put them into prison, and he haven't even had some killed for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just knew that he was doing God a service. But it took this man that God raised up to disperse the church abroad, to begin doing what they had already been commanded to do. America still sends missionaries across the ocean. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We also need to send them next door. We also need to send them to our own neighborhoods. We need to be that missionary. We need to be the one presenting people with the truth. But what has happened is we're going to rely on other people to do our job for us. Listen, how many of you are in China tonight? Please don't tell me you are. You're right here tonight. But we need to help those that are reaching the Chinese with the gospel of Christ. We saw Brother Sean here this morning. Amen. Reaching those in Haiti and Brother Tom and his family and how they sacrificed the time to go and try to reach people with the gospel. Amen. How many of you speak Spanish? Anybody speak Spanish besides my wife and I? Y'all need to learn Spanish. Why? Because there's people in our neighborhoods who don't speak English very well at all. But Jesus died for them. Jesus wants them to hear the truth about Christ. He wants them to be saved before it's everlasting too late. But here in this melting pot called America, we've had this idea that we want people, no matter what they believe, to come here. And they are free to come here, if they'll do it the right way, in my opinion. But we want them to come here, but we also want them to understand we are a nation founded on the principles of God's Word. And that God, yes, He wants you to come here, and He gives you the right to believe what you want, but He also wants you to know who He is. And your job and my job, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm speaking to you, our job is to get the truth out. It's not solely Pastor Lawson's truth to get the truth out to Knoxville. How many of you understand what I'm saying? It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job to get the truth out. Moms and dads, it's your job to give your children the truth. It's your job, grandma and grandpa. By the way, did y'all see my cute grandson tonight? Praise the Lord. Hey, that's another reason to fight. That's another reason to not worry about what people think about you, because my grandson needs the truth. He needs to know who Jesus is. He needs to understand that there is only one way and one way only to go to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan, he has twisted and changed God's word and has enslaved multitudes through religion that has an appearance of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. It has a form of godliness. And Satan has been busy. Satan doesn't have a problem at all with religious people. Are you listening to me? He likes religious people. Religious people are right down his alley. But he has been busy twisting the scriptures, changing what God's word says. Not that it changes the truth, but for those who are lazy, for those who don't care, they will be enslaved by hearing a lie and thinking that it is the truth. And then you have men throughout all history. They have either tried to take a penknife and destroy the Word of God, or they have tried to choose words to remove from the Word of God. Can I get you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 real quick? How many of you understand that there are people out there who claim to be Christians that want to make Christ a sinner? Hello? They want to make Him to have been one that committed sin. Do you realize He could not be your sacrifice had He committed sin? Do you realize you would still be in your sins if He had sinned? And we would have no hope whatsoever? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, I want you to look at this. Christ is speaking. He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger." What? Without a cause. Do you know in some of the modern translations, as they call them, that phrase is removed? And as I was teaching the Sunday school class this morning, do you realize Jesus got angry twice, took a whip, and He ran people out of the house of God, the temple of God? He ran them out in His anger, the money changers, because He knew that was a holy place. That was a place that was supposed to be called a house of prayer. And they were defiling His Father's house. And He ran them out with anger. Now, if you take out without a cause, it would teach that Jesus was in danger of judgment because He was angry. There was no doubt He was angry, and He should have been. And He had a righteous cause. And I want you to understand that. But people today, well, you know, they all say basically the same thing. No, they don't. They do not say the same thing. And in many instances in these modern translations, they remove Lord. They remove Christ. And I want you to understand something. They remove virgin. And I'm not here to convince you which Bible version to trust, even though it should be the King James if you speak English. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not willing to look at the source of these things, you're really not interested in the truth. Because we must trace things back to their source. We must put in the effort to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen? I don't want to stand ashamed before the Lord because I was too lazy to look and see if it was true or not. That's why we've got to spend time in the Word of God. But just removing three words without a cause cast doubt on our Lord and Savior as to whether or not He was borderline sinning or not. Our Lord and Savior did not sin. God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." God could not have said that had Jesus been in danger of sinning. Had Jesus pushed the line, pushed the envelope. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, please. In John chapter 14, Jesus makes a very bold statement. And many quote-unquote Christians have a problem with this. John chapter 14, if you look at verse 6, I know you're familiar with this. I hope you have it memorized. It's a very good verse to have memorized. Are you there with me? Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way." The what? Truth. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, how could God the Father be pleased with His Son if Jesus was not telling the truth here? How could God the Father tell us to hear His Son, to obey His Son, if His Son was not being forthright in declaring that He is the only way to the Father? I've mentioned many times, if we could earn our way to heaven, then God was foolish to allow His Son to die for us. Because if one can earn his way to heaven, all can earn their way to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, no one could earn their way to heaven. That's why we needed a Savior. Praise His holy name. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He left the realm of glory, being glorified daily with the Father, to come and die a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, to give you and I an opportunity to be saved. Praise His holy name. Then if you'll go back a few chapters to chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 32. Are you there with me? Jesus tells them to continue in His word in verse 31. And He goes on to say, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I understand chapter 8 comes before chapter 14. How many of you understand that? But Jesus declared that He was the truth in chapter 14, verse 6. And He also tells us that if we will continue in His word, by the way, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Please keep these things in mind. It all ties together. But He says, if you'll continue in His Word, you'll know the truth. The problem is, people come to something in the Bible that they don't understand, or they'll come to a word that just doesn't seem right, or even something that happened that their mind cannot understand. And they'll say, "Well, I don't believe that." Casting judgment on the Word of God, declaring it to be null and void because of their not being able to understand something. Listen, there's still things I don't understand. Pastor has told you. There's things that he's learning. He's a student of the Bible. You're not going to hear that from many preachers today. They want you to think they have it all figured out. I'm scared of those people. Amen? I don't want to be around them. But as we look about this, Jesus says, "You continue in my word, then you'll know the truth." He is the Word. You continue in Him, He'll keep you in the truth. Amen. I'm glad about that. We need to understand that. And then He goes on in chapter 17, verse 17. And by the way, at the end of chapter 8, He declares that the devil is the father of lies. Amen. But in chapter 17, verse 17, He's speaking unto His heavenly Father. And He makes a very bold declaration after he is making this request. He says, sanctify them, make them holy through thy truth. And then he goes on to say, thy word is truth. How many of you want a reputable witness to give you an idea whether we can trust the word of God or not? Where we have the perfect one, the holy one, our Savior, speaking unto his own Father, declaring that God's word is truth. But also, what else? It will make you holy. It will make, you're not going to make yourself holy. God's word will make you holy. It will sanctify you. It will set you apart unto God if you will continue in his word. And as we think about it today, how many people today are biblically illiterate? They refuse to open the Word of God. They don't mind owning a Bible to say they have it, but they're not going to open it up to see what it says. I don't know about you, but God personally, before I was even saved, he spoke to me about his Word. There was two versions of the Bible. I'll just give you the story. My grandfather was passing away. He was dying of cancer. My mom's dad. And they had called me. I was already in Spain, but I flew home on emergency leave. And as we were there, he was very bad. And he called us into his room. He thought it was his time to die. And he said, go get a Bible, son. And so I ran, and I saw two Bibles on the shelf. And I grabbed the first one. And there was one right next to it that said KJV. And there was two different Bibles. But I grabbed the first one, not the KJV. We went in there. He goes, I want y'all to read me the 23rd Psalm. Hey, what a great psalm to read at the time that you're about to cross over. Amen. And as we read it, we're thinking, we're expecting. We didn't know what was going to happen. Nothing happened. He continued on a few days. And then a couple of days later, he's like, get me the Bible again. Well, this time I grabbed the other Bible. The one that had those letters, KJV, on it. I wasn't saved. But my dad, he took the Bible and he began reading the 23rd Psalm. And at the very end of the 23rd Psalm, my grandfather drew his last breath. You say, well, that's coincidental. You can call it coincidental all you want. God showed me that day there's something special about that book. Amen. Now, could he have died at that moment just by, you know, coincidence? Sure. But that's not how God spoke to me. See, God allowed me to see two different versions, even though I didn't understand the difference in them at the time. And he allowed me to see that this one, for some reason, God used. For some reason, God used this in the life of my grandfather to bring him comfort and to see him to cross over to the other side. That brought comfort, and it spoke to me, like I said, before I was even saved. Shortly after, by the way, I got saved. Shortly after I got saved. But God uses his word, the truth. He uses it to guide us and to direct us. And as we think about America, how many of you believe that the majority of our founding fathers were Christians? They believed in God and they honored God. And sure, they may have had different doctrinal beliefs, but for the most part, they gave all credit to God, our Creator, who created all men, what? Equal. And that we were given these wonderful rights that we were given because of God. But now we have people changing the American history. And it's not just begun. It's been going on for decades. They've been changing our history books. Why? So they can give you the truth they want you to know. What their truth is. That relative truth. And thereby destroying one generation after another generation. And you remove the truth and you present people something that you say is the truth. Well, there's nothing to compare it with because they destroyed the other. And therefore, generation after generation is deceived. Here, in this past couple of years, we've seen people tear down monuments. They removed the Ten Commandments. Why would you not want God's law in the courtroom? Why would you not want something that tells people it's wrong to commit adultery, it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to do this? Why would you not want that to have a better society? And yet, Americans in our pride, our arrogance, go ahead, take away prayer. Go ahead, take away the Ten Commandments. And now here we are in 2021 scratching our head and saying, what in the world happened? Well, the truth has been removed. And we've allowed it to be. It's our fault. It's our fault as a whole. We must stand up for what's right. We must stand up and remind people what the truth is about the history of our nation. Because it's a rich history. We're very, very young as a nation. Very young. But God saw fit to allow the light to come to America so that we could spread the light throughout the world. So that people could hear the truth of the gospel, how they could know God as their personal Savior. And God used us in a mighty way, but the light's going out. However, there is a remnant, you and I. And I believe America can be revived. But how many of us want it so badly that we're willing to do whatever it takes to allow God to bring us revival? See, here's where it really boils down to. America as a whole has gotten comfortable in her sin, in her debauchery, in her wickedness, just as Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you imagine if God doesn't judge America for what we're allowing to happen in our nation? Do you realize He would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah? God's a holy God. He's a just God. He's not going to apologize to anyone. He does rightly. And we do deserve to be judged and destroyed and turned into hell. Amen. But thankfully for His mercy, thank God for His mercy, we can experience a revival. Amen. How many of us truly want that though? See, if I truly want revival, I've got to be willing to change whatever it is that's not pleasing to God. Excuse me, I've got to allow Him to change me to make me what He wants me to be. I've already tried changing myself on several occasions. It just doesn't work. But when God changes things, they're changed. When I allow the truth to moor itself in my heart, when I hide the Word of God in my heart, that I won't sin against Him, that's when God brings lasting change. But if we're just going to say, well, we're going to get holy for a couple of weeks, like what happened after September 11th, we're going to get holy for a couple of weeks and, you know, God will restore everything. It's going to be okay. No, we just saw good times for a couple of weeks and that was it. And we returned right back to the vomit. Got worse. We're continuing to get worse. But we need to get back to the truth. Satan and ungodly men who belong to him, their souls at the moment belong to him. They are constantly changing the truth of God into a lie. But it's not a lie. God's truth is exactly what it says it is, the truth. Amen. And you and I must get back. If we really love the Lord, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my words. That's what he told those, his disciples. If you love me, how many of you love the Lord tonight? Don't raise your hand. And you know what? It's like I told the class this morning. If I love someone, I really don't have to say it. Because a lot of times all we do is give lip service. We can say a lot of things, but if our actions don't prove what we're saying, then we raise about questionable doubt. But if I truly love the Lord, it ought to reflect in my life. If I truly love my wife and my children, it ought to reflect in my life. Sure, I like to tell them that I love them, but listen, my actions should scream that I love them. And those of us who say we love Jesus, our actions should scream that we love Him. In Proverbs chapter 22, if you'll turn there with me. Would you look with me at verse 28? I talked about removing monuments. I talked about removing important things from public places. The Ten Commandments, prayer, these statues of historical figures in our nation. Sure, not all of them did great things, but you know what? It's something that we can look to and would help us to remember, hey, we don't want to go down that path again. But if you remove those warning signs, if you remove those things that let you know, hey, this did happen, but let's avoid it, you're going to repeat history. You're going to repeat the evil. But here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. How many of you remember when Israel crossed over the Jordan River with Joshua? And God told them to get 12 stones from the midst of the river and to set up a pillar on the side that they had crossed over to. And that pillar was there so that when the children of Israel saw it one day, they would come and ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Why are these here? I mean, it's just a heap of stones. Oh, no, son. No, child, let me tell you, this is when God dried up the river. This is a river that is always overflowing its banks and you can't cross over it. But God, that day when we obeyed Him, when the priest's feet touched the edge of the water, the river dried up and they went across on dry land. Now, interesting enough, God also told them to put a pillar of those stones in the middle of the river. Think about that. They didn't have divers back then, at least not with scuba tanks and all that. But can you imagine you're scuba diving in the Jordan River one day and you come across this pile of 12 stones? Now, I don't know the way that they set it up. I don't know how it looked. But it was enough that if it could bring the attention of those who saw it on lands to get their curiosity to ask what had happened, surely it was the same way in the river. Listen, God is always trying to let us see proof that He is who He is, that He always keeps His promises, and that He will deliver. And boy, how many times did He deliver the nation of Israel? But He told them to set those stones there, a landmark, to remind them of the mercies of God, to remind them of the miracles that God worked. You stop a river. How many of you have ever dammed up a creek or a small stream? And you stop the water, but was it dry? Or the water? No, it was muddy. And it was going to be muddy for several days. But the moment they obeyed God and stepped in the water, it was dry. You say, well, that's a child's story. No, that's Bible history. That's God's account as to what happened. And I'm going to trust God because He's never lied to me. I'm going to trust the Lord because I know He's truth. Amen. You think about Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, but they came to the Red Sea. And God sent that mighty wind and it split the waters in two. And it allowed the children of Israel to cross over on what kind of land? Dry land. And they crossed over and they went through and here comes Pharaoh's army. And when Pharaoh's army was in the midst, God let the waters come back together and all the army of Egypt was drowned right there in the Red Sea. People say, that's a child's story. Be careful when you want to put equivalence to all these stories in the Bible as being children's story. I'm thankful that we teach our children this, but it's not just a child's story. It is actual biblical accounts. And children need to know this truth, but adults need to know this truth. And so as they had drowned and Israel was safe, I can't remember how many years ago it was. I think it was a couple of decades ago. They actually found a chariot wheel at the bottom of the Red Sea where God allowed them to cross through. Yeah, man. If that don't get you happy and believe in God, I don't know what will. I mean, what'd they do? Roll it from the shore and it ended up in the middle? No. God removed those chariot wheels. God allowed their chariots to stop right where they at, and God drowned them all with the Red Sea. Because He was protecting His chosen people. And He told them that they would. By faith, they entered into that water. By faith, the children of Israel stepped into the Jordan River, following the priest and the ark. They did exactly what God said. And by the way, we're not going to follow the truth unless we keep our faith in the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. See, there are many out there today They say they believe there's truth out there, but we just don't know what it is. No, we have the truth. If you truly are a believer of Christ and you've spent time in this Word, you know that this Bible proves itself over and over and over and over again. I honestly had this conversation this afternoon, right before church, with a person who says, well, I believe truth's out there. I believe there's a God. I said, well, I know who He is. And I know exactly what He wants as far as what He has written out clearly for us to know. That wasn't trying to be prideful or arrogant, but listen, God has given us His Word because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be free of the truth. And Jesus said, the truth will make you free. Well, I thought we were free already. Have you ever considered the fact that if we need the truth to make us free, that means that we were enslaved before we had the truth? See, I can't be made free unless I've been bound. I can't be loosed unless something was holding me. And the bonds of sin and Satan and his power that he has in this world that God has allowed him to have, listen, it will bind us, it will keep us blinded, but we need to look unto the light, the truth of God's Word. And as we come to know the truth, Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, He sets us free. His Word sets us free. Amen. We go from being religious people to saved people. We go from being nominal Christians to people who truly love the Lord. But we have to know what the truth is. 2 John chapter 4, or 2 John verse 4. I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to teach your teenagers. It is such a great honor. It is also a very important responsibility that I will give an account to the Lord for. Man, I love teaching people the Word of God. I love teaching God's Word. I love reading God's Word and learning it. And tonight we're going to see someone get baptized who I've been giving a hard time for a while. I've been picking on Matthew. I've been picking on him hard, but to try to encourage him to do what's right. And when he came and told me that he wanted to get baptized, I tell you, I wanted to shout for joy, but I composed myself. But I was happy. Why? What's it do for me? Nothing. What's it do for him? It gives him a clear conscience before God. Think about it. A clear conscience, that means so much. Verse 4 of 2 John, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. You see that? Walking, how? In truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. Boy, it rejoices my heart to see people obey God in truth. To obey and do what God has told them to do. Walking in His Word. That is so wonderful. Matthew really encouraged me when he told me he wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. And then if you'll go down to 3 John. Look at verse 4. Are you there with me? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, brethren, I don't say this for a pity party, but I'm sad tonight. I've got three that are out in the world. I've got three that are out there. And I know God loves them, and I know they know the truth. But I will rejoice greatly when I see them walking in truth. I will rejoice greatly when I see them come to their right mind and allow the Lord to work in their heart. It will bring me great joy. But until then, I'm not going to have a pity party. I'm not going to quit on God, because God says His Word will not return void. God said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I'm glad there's examples of prodigal sons in the Bible. It gives me hope. The Bible gives me hope. The truth gives me hope. What America needs tonight, America needs the truth. That number one truth is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And once we have that truth, we need to spend time in the written truth. Getting to know God. Building a
time of fellowship, communion with the Lord. Walking daily, listening to His Word, spending time with Him in prayer, and allowing Him to make us what He wants us to be. There's nothing wrong with you having goals in your life as long as they line up with what God wants. God has the best in store for you. God has the perfect plan for you. And I promise you, if you'll just surrender yourself to Him, you'll never regret serving God and saying yes to Him. Never, ever. But if you stray from the truth, you will be miserable. You will be miserable. How do you know? Personal experience. You stray from the Lord, you're going to be miserable. You don't obey God and what you know to do, you're going to be miserable. That's one way that He chastises us. But I'm glad there's also truth that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He also said that there's nothing impossible for Him. Aren't you glad about that? Satan's strong. He's very strong. I'm no match for Satan. But Satan's no match for my Savior. God is the Almighty. He is the truth. And I want to encourage you tonight as Americans. Listen, I hope that your desire is to see your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, should God allow it. I hope your desire is to see them to walk in truth. But there's also the Proverbs. I can't remember the exact address of it right now, but he says, son, I want you to observe my ways, and I want you to follow me. See, we can't expect them to obey the truth if we're not obeying the truth. We can't expect them to follow the Lord if we're not following the Lord. So many times it's do what we say, instead of showing them how. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to get on our faces before God and ask the Lord to help us to be what we're supposed to be. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not walking with God, you need to walk with the Lord. But you also need to know what the truth is. And right here is the truth. You need to be in God's Word. America needs to get back to the Word of God. We are in the shape we are in today because too many have sat by quietly saying, well, we'll just let them go their own way. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How many of you believe that? God has also told us to teach all nations. Teach them what? The truth. Show them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Or where do we find that? In the Great Commission that Christ gave to the church. Brothers and sisters, we're in trouble tonight because we've strayed from the truth. Sure, we may keep up routines and rituals. We may keep up with the appearances of godliness. But you look at America as a whole. She's going down, and she's going down quick. And unless God gives us revival, she will not return. She won't. But are you willing to do whatever it takes to have revival? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, there's the recipe for revival. Let's seek God's face. Let's let it begin right here at Temple Baptist Church. I know revival hasn't started yet, but it can start beforehand. I don't want to tell the Holy Spirit, now you got to wait till the 25th now. No, I want Him to bring it tonight if He'll bring it tonight. But we've got to be willing to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways. We've got to seek His face. We've got to get back to what He wants us to be. And the only way that can happen is if we will surrender to Him. Would you ask the Lord to give us revival? I want to see it. I desperately want to see it. I hope you do as well. Father, Lord, I've done what I can. And Lord, I have no power, but You do, and Your Word has all power. Father, I pray tonight that You would work in our midst. Lord, there are so many that honestly know the truth in their mind. They've heard the truth. They say, well, I know that's truth. But Father, they haven't received the truth because they haven't received Your Son. Father, I pray tonight there's anyone here in this building that has never received Christ as their personal Savior, that you would work in their life, draw them to you. I know that you're the only one that can. Holy Spirit, please work in our midst. Father, help us to seek your face. Help us to seek revival. Lord, we need you. I need you, dear Father. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that is not pleasing to you, would you bring it to our attention? Would you help us, Lord, to know what it is so that we can come and confess it before you? Doubtless, Father, there are some here tonight that know exactly what it is that you're not pleased with. Father, help us not to be prideful. Help us not to lie to ourselves and to think that you're okay with sin in our lives. You're not. Father, help us to allow your word to sanctify us. I ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. Pastor.